All right, I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thankful to the Lord for all that He's done for us. Thank the Lord for all that He's done for us. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before You this morning and we thank You for Your goodness and for Your mercy. God, we just ask Your blessing upon this time together this morning. We ask that You would fill us with Your Spirit and give us wisdom and understanding. Help us to hear You speaking, Father, through Your Word. Again, we just thank You for all that You do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. All right, let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 22. And again, verse 28. It's a real blessing this morning. The good instruction that was found in Proverbs, how to direct our lives, to guard our mouths, to humble ourselves and listen. Just a real blessing. It's just amazing how much instruction that there is in the Bible. And that's what I want to talk about, is seeing God's way. And it's through that, those instructions, that He's trying to teach us. And to actually hear that instructions, those instructions, and apply them is what faith is. You know, we've got this magical idea of faith that produces something just out of nowhere. But the Bible says we're converted or we're born again by the Word of God. And not just hearing it, but actually hearing it and applying it to our lives. And that's where faith comes. I mean, the Bible teaches that the devil believes that Jesus died. The devil believes that Jesus rose again. But it has absolutely no effect on his life. He believes it. He knows it happened. But it doesn't change him. It doesn't do anything because there's something missing. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. That one thing missing. With the real power of conversion is the key to the real power. It's not the power. It all comes from God. It comes because Christ did die and He did overcome Satan. And that's what gives us the power to become the sons of God, by not just hearing those facts about Him dying and rising and defeating Satan, but actually being converted. This verse here, it says, verse 28, it says, "You are those who stood by Me in My trials." Here He is talking to His disciples. "And just as My Father has granted Me a kingdom, I grant you that you may eat and drink at My table in My kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Then He said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith may fail not. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." Okay, in the King James it says, when you are converted, you'll strengthen your brothers. you'll strengthen that which remains. But here it says, when you turn again. In Acts chapter 3, verse 19 says, therefore repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Here again, therefore repent, and in King James says, be converted. But in this book it says, and return. The last few weeks we've talked about repentance. Repentance simply means that we return to where we came from. We think of repentance, well, I've been doing something wrong, I'm just going to quit doing this. That's not what repentance is. It has a little bit of that. But true repentance means is we return to where we came from. Where did we come from? We came from God. To return to God is to return to what He created us to be in the first place. When we read this and it says converted, it kind of leads us to think that there's some magical change that's just going to take place in us. We hear the term born again, and it kind of gives the intonation of some magical change that we become something other than what we are or what we were created to be. In other words, sometimes we think that when we're born again, we're going to become better than what God created us to be in the first place. Some sort of super spiritual being. But that is not what it means. To be converted or to be is to return back to what God wants us to be in the first place. And all through the Bible, the message to man is to return, to repent, to return back to what I made you to be. We were created in God's image to love Him and to serve Him with the same Spirit that He has. And that's where what His Spirit in the world, whenever we're returned back to Him, it's just to give us that Spirit of God to dwell in us, so that our actions and our lives reflect what God is and what the way He wants us to be and the way He responds and treats us. That repentance is to turn back to what God wants us to be. These words, like baptism. Baptism, if you look in the Greek word, it means to be dipped. But we've given it, whenever someone wants to change things around a little bit, they invent a word, baptismo, in Latin, and it kind of gives everybody a question. Well, what does that really mean? What it was intended to mean is to be immersed in something. To be immersed. But because it's now a new word that sounds a little mysterious or sounds a little religious, we can kind of make it do whatever we want to fit our little goal. That it means something different. But it just simply means to be immersed. And just like converted, being born again, we kind of get this mystical image when we think of these things. That it's some kind of mysterious, strange thing that's out there that we're waiting to happen to us. But in reality is God is just saying, return to me. The only way that we can return, lest we think it's all up to us, is because Jesus died on the cross. He did do it. He did die on the cross. And He rose again the third day. During that time, the Bible says that He went and retrieved the captives that were held in Hades. And He set the captives free. He went and preached to those that were in captivity, and those were set free. We were all in Satan's bondage. Even Abraham. Jesus was talking about being in Abraham's bosom, but he was still in Hades. There was a gap between him and Lazarus. And that gap was a divide that was between those who held to the promises of God and were hoping and waiting on the deliverance, and those who had no hope. They were waiting for Christ. We're all in that place. But Christ came and He brought that kingdom to us. He set us free from Satan. We now have that hope to have that kingdom in this life. We can be what God wants us to be. And I'm not... Perfection is another area that we have this mystical idea of perfect. That's something without a flaw, without any problems at all. We tell people that we should obey the Lord, that we should listen to God. Just like these instructions this morning, where there's instructions of how to be more Godlike and be more Christlike and to be wise and to get a discernment. We tell people to listen to those instructions. And some people say, oh, you're trying to work your way to heaven. Nobody's perfect. And they throw away the need to listen to any instructions. But those instructions are what brings us to this returning, this being converted. Those instructions are the very thing that brings about the power of conversion. It's the Word of God that brings to this, not some mystical message that's hidden in the Word of God that if we read it, it just makes us something new. It's an actual application of hearing God's demand on our life. Just like in Hebrews, the Bible says that Noah, moved by faith, what did he do? He built an ark. If Noah would have just been relying on this magical faith that God was going to deliver him, he would have drowned with the rest of the world. But Noah's faith heard God's claim on his life, followed the instructions that God gave him, and he built a boat. And he was saved. Because he worked. He did something with his faith. That is what faith is. Faith is hearing the Word of God and doing it. We can say, I've got faith. I don't have to hear God. James said, show me a man with faith and I'll show you a man that hears God and does it. That's what our returning is all about. That's the instructions that the Bible gives us to return to God. God's way is higher than our way. God's way is better than our way. I'm going to use an example. Can you still hear me? Okay. In the Old Testament, we are given the law. And the law is about us seeking justice. Justice is whenever someone does something to you, you have an opportunity to
avenge yourself and to demand justice. That is man's idea. On the street, we were talking to a man, and he was talking about this faith without hearing Jesus. And the issue came up of non-resistance, and he was saying that the Bible tells us that because of the law, that he had every right to kill someone that was trying to harm him or his family. And we told him, Jesus said that however we judge is how we are going to be judged. If we are going to live by the law of justice, we will be judged by the law of justice. That's what the Bible teaches when it talks about if you try to live by the law, you have to fulfill every bit of it. Because the law was the law of justice. And if we try to live by that law of justice, we will stand in judgment being judged by that law of justice. And so that if I am seeking justice from other men because of what they do for me, I will be held to that account when I stand before God by that same law of justice. I told that man, I cannot bear that law of justice. I cannot stand to be judged by that law of justice. That's why when Jesus talked about the kingdom of God, he came to lift us above those things. That we, the true law of God, justice is just a shell. It just hangs on that law of love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with all your heart. Everything else just hangs from that. We have to get past justice to find mercy. That we are judged under the law of liberty and mercy because we've risen above that law of justice. What I believe, the reason I believe the teachings of Jesus is because, not because they're just written down in a book, and have been preserved. The reason I believe it is because he's teaching us of something higher than what's obtainable by man. If you punch me in the nose and I get mad and I punch you back because I'm just to do so, there's just two people fighting. seeking revenge or seeking to get equality. But Jesus said, turn the other cheek. Rise above this fleshly desire for justice. Rise above these things. The things that Jesus teaches us and calls us is to bring us above man's ideas and to live our life like God. That's what He's calling us to return to. That's the message of repentance. That's the message of God. Return to my ways, not your ways. When we hear these things, we think, that's too hard for me. I can't do that. I'm not perfect. Instead of, God, this is what you're calling me to do. I am not perfect in that sense. But I'll do what you want me to do. That's where the power of God comes to help us live out the way He wants us to live. But we're too fearful. We're too afraid of what if. What if someone actually challenges me? Instead of trusting God, we revert back to, I can't do that, and so I'm not going to do it. Instead of waiting and trusting on the Lord. That is what takes faith. Not taking things into our own hands, pretending that I'm going to be saved because I believe Jesus died for me. Real faith is trusting that all things are in the Lord's hands. Many people want to believe that God is sovereign and that we have no free will, that we have no choice, that it's all because He's sovereign. And then the same people will talk about a sovereign God and then take it into their own hands to protect themselves because God ain't big enough to do it. If God is sovereign, we don't have to worry about anything because it's in His hands. If we truly believe His sovereignty and we yield our will to Him, we don't have to worry about anything. What if someone destroys our bodies? They cannot hurt our soul if our soul rises to the level that God wants it to be, that it was created to be. It doesn't hurt our souls. That's what we're trying to protect. And we spend so much time to try to protect this body, this flesh that is going to die anyway, instead of guarding our souls and keeping our souls on a level of perfection that we can obtain. Not this spotless perfection that we think about, but the perfection of just having our spirits united with God. Walking in the light that we have today, not worrying about what if tomorrow, but walk in the light today. If you will walk in the light that you have today, you will have taken the steps that will be required for you to take the steps tomorrow. But if you won't even take them today because you're afraid of what if, you'll never be able to make those steps tomorrow. God only requires of us today. Trusting Him today. And if I determine in my mind about tomorrow is too hard for me, it's already lost. But if I take care of today, that I'm going to trust God while I can and take those little baby steps today, then we'll have the strength to make those tomorrow. Faith is now, not tomorrow. Who knows what tomorrow will bring? But if I have the simple faith that it takes to do what God wants me to today, God will be there tomorrow with me. Return to the way God wants us to be. That's what it means to be converted. That's what it means to be born again. Trust God with your life. Do it His way. May the Lord add His blessings. God bless you.